Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And as always, we invite you to join us in our Zoom fellowship, which happens right after this service. And you can find the links to that Zoom fellowship in the e-newsletter or the weekly update. And if you're not receiving an e-newsletter or weekly update, just click on the Show More button right below if you're watching this on YouTube. And you can find the link to our website where you can register so that you can start receiving our update and our weekly newsletter. So, and in addition, you know, we appreciate the fact that you're joining us in this service. And if you find it to be rewarding and uplifting, we are very much open and welcome your donations to continue supporting Unity Center of Light. And you can find the many ways of doing that, again, by clicking on the Show More button just below here. And we appreciate all your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, February the 12th, Sunday. The keyword is compassion, and the affirmation is acts of loving compassion build my strength. Whether in my community or across the world, many people face hardships. As a member of the human family, I'm inspired to undertake compassionate action and help however I can. Sometimes just a prayerful thought or simple blessing can make a powerful difference in someone's life. Other times, I may be able to take more direct action. I may listen to someone deeply as they share the concerns of their heart, or I may volunteer to drive them somewhere or complete errands for them. Regardless of the form my compassionate action takes, I am motivated to be of sacred service, to bring the love and care of God into manifest form through my decisive action. And the scripture reading is from Matthew 14:14. And it reads, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, wow, Valentine's Day is coming up. And so the title of today's talk is What Makes Real Love Possible? And again, you know, some of these lessons really make good discussion topics because they, you know, they dig into ideas that we all probably have a very much different perception of. So when you ask what makes real love possible, you know, it begs the question, what is real love? And I think it's safe to say that we are, you know, typically naturally loving beings beneath the facade that we use to protect ourselves. Okay? But what about those areas in our lives where love doesn't seem possible? Those circumstances and experiences that cause us to shift from being loving to being judgmental and fearful, okay? This is what Marianne Williamson says about that. She says, when we were born, we were programmed perfectly. We had a natural tendency to focus on love. We were connected to a world much richer than the one we connect to now. A world full of enchantment and a sense of the miraculous. And then we were taught to focus elsewhere. We were taught to think unnaturally. We were taught a very bad philosophy, a way of looking at the world that contradicts who we really are. So, you know, and again, you may challenge that. But, you know, the whole spiritual journey is about making the transition from this unnatural perception about love back to who we really are. See, love is our natural state, and that's what that quote from Marianne Williamson was describing. The spiritual journey is the process we must go through to develop our spiritual ability to see the intrinsic worth in every person we encounter. And yes, I know that's a tall order, okay? But spiritual perception produces a different kind of outcome than sense perception, because they each come from a different use of our faculty of judgment. Now this is how the revealing word explains, you know, judgment. It says judgment is a faculty in our conscious realm of mind that can be used. Oh, thank you. In our subconscious realm of mind that can be used in two ways: from the perception of our senses or from spiritual understanding. And if the actions of this faculty of mind are based on sense perception, it often produces erroneous conclusions. If our judgment faculty is grounded in spiritual understanding, it will produce conclusions based on the actual truth in a situation or personal encounter, okay? And I will profess, you know, throughout this lesson that making the transition from sense perception, you know, seeing the world through our senses, to spiritual reality when it comes to love is not easy. Because quite often, the ego sees what the ego wants to see, right? No matter what. You know, you can tell us something different and the ego just sees what it wants to see, okay? Whether or not that's the truth. It's just that's what it sees. But this journey from sense perception to spiritual reality is required for the divine connection between what we talked about last week, our fully human self and our fully divine self. You see, these two, as we said last week's lesson, must work in harmony to make real love possible in all areas of our lives. So the nature of all spiritual work, whether the spiritual worker knows it or not, is to awaken the sleeping consciousness to the truth that our true nature is God nature. And our true mission in life is to be to each other what God is to each one of us. And again, you know, this is simple review. You know, we know that God is love. So a good start could be to listen, really listen to ourselves. What are we thinking and saying? Because this might give us a better understanding of what our perception of our expression of love really is. Okay? And again, back to what we used to always say, self-observation without condemnation. What is it that's going on in me, and how do I perceive what I understand a loving expression to be? So as the saying goes, no person is an island, which really means that quite often we're getting our cues for how to be in the world from someone or something outside of ourselves. And these social cues may have steered us away from our true selves, okay? So again, Marianne Williamson explains that love is what we were born with, okay? Fear is what we learned. The spiritual journey is the relinquishment or unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love back into our hearts. Love is the essential existential fact, okay? So, and yes, I realize that a lifetime of knee-jerk reactions to our life experiences has most likely established conditions and boundaries that we use to protect ourselves when we express love. You know, it's been happening all of our lives. That's what Marianne Williams' quote is referring to. And whether, you know, this happens whether or not we're conscious of these boundaries that we've created. So this is the nature of the human experience. It is the nature of the human journey. But as true students, we're learning that as soon as we define something or put conditions on it, we limit our relationship with it to those definitions and conditions. And that confines our ability to expand our spiritual understanding. And again, a lot of times this has happened for us, to us, and we were just not conscious of that, of what we were doing, that we were creating these boundaries and these conditions for love. So these self-established boundaries and conditions even applies to the many titles we have for the people in our lives, such as title of mom, dad, sister, brother, husband, wife, partner, friend, doctor, teacher, minister, and so on. All the titles we use have conditions of love embedded in them. And if the person with the title deviates from the condition for love we attach to that title, it usually shatters the love we have for that person. And that for me was a mind-opening thought. And it is not that we shouldn't use endearing and respectful titles that we have for each other. It's more a matter of whether or not we are capable of loving the people in our lives without the conditions for love we have attached to the titles in our relationships. Simply, are we capable of the forgiveness that is required for unconditional love? Okay? Because stuff is going to happen. Stuff's going to happen that requires forgiveness. It's just inevitable, all right? So that's why this idea of forgiveness is so important, because things are going to happen that's going to shatter the perception you had of a person that you gave a title to, like friend or mother, father, or, you know, spouse or whatever. Something's going to happen that can shatter the conditions you put on that title, okay? As we explored before, the title we give God is actually no name at all. God is the name of the unnameable, the indescribable, the undefinable, the unconditional. And the definitions and conditions we place on the name God are based on what we need God to be to help us through this human experience. But otherwise, likewise, the definitions and conditions we place on the titles we have for each other are based on what we need each other to be to help us through this life experience. That's why it's so important that when you title somebody as a friend or a minister or a doctor or a counselor or a teacher or whatever it might be, that's why it's so important to us, because we need that person to help us through some aspect of our life experience. But once we truly come into the eternal consciousness of love, what love really is, you know, in its true unconditional nature, all of our definitions and conditions for love will be shattered, okay? And all that will be left when our conditions and definitions and boundaries, when those are shattered, all that will be left is just love in its pure, unadulterated form. But, you know, trying to define unconditional love is like trying to describe an experience you had, you know, to others who have not had that same or similar experience. They may get the gist of what you're saying, but in actuality, they can't really know what you're explaining until they have had the experience for themselves. And it's the same with the idea of, you know, we're learning about, you know, living the spiritual life. Unless we are willing to put these ideas into practice and observe what happens, these are just words with no significant meaning. Let me say that again. This idea of unconditional love, okay? Unless you put that into practice, you kind of hear, okay, well, this is what unconditional love is like. But unless you put it into practice and then observe what happens, the words that we are hearing about unconditional love, they have no real significant meaning. The only way to really know a thing is to experience it until you become at one with it. And so it is with unconditional love. The only way to really know it is to meld your mind, body, and spirit with it. This is a way to make real love possible. However, all of these explanations about unconditional love are just a bunch of noise, just like I said, until we become willing to put in the work to make it real for ourselves. And making it real is what the spiritual journey is all about. Okay? I came across an article on a website called Got Questions. It didn't really have an author or anything, but it, you know, I was searching for spiritual journey, and this came in this website, Got Questions, that's all it said. And this is how it explains the spiritual journey. It said the spiritual journey is a phrase used by many different religions to mean the natural progression of a person as they grow in understanding of God, the world, and in the person, his or herself, okay? It is an intentional lifestyle. Listen to that. It's an intentional lifestyle of growing deeper in knowledge and wisdom. But what is meant by a spiritual journey towards being Christ-like is vastly different from a journey towards other kinds of spirituality that do not include and is not based on the life and teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before you even say anything, you know, we can see from this definition that it's referring very specifically to the spiritual journey towards, you know, a Christ-like understanding of our divinity. But even though that's our journey, even though, you know, our journey is to move towards a Christ-like understanding of our divinity, the focus of the work we do here in Unity does not negate other paths to spiritual enlightenment. We know that. Okay, I use those examples a lot in my talks or in the teachings that we, you know, we look at all the different ways. We acknowledge that there are many paths to spiritual enlightenment. And that is because love is love on any spiritual journey that leads to the awakening of the fully human to the fully divine within us. Okay. So the work in our spiritual journey, you know, to making real love possible is to unlearn the false ideas we believe about love and to release the conditions we establish in our minds and our hearts about how to express love, okay? Again, to repeat Marianne Williamson, the spiritual journey is the relinquishment or unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love back into our hearts, okay? So love is not the person or condition. Love is God. Love is life. It's the oxygen we breathe. It's the life that we're living. And just as God freely gives love to us, it is our spiritual work to freely give love to each other without pause, without condition. And yes, I do realize that a statement like that, it seems to negate all the heartache and trauma we may have experienced in our lives. I realize that, okay? Being able to love unconditionally may be a key item on our bucket list. You might say, well, I really want to do this. I want to really learn how to love unconditionally. But there's a whole lot of mental, emotional house cleaning we have to do first. So let's not kid ourselves, okay? It's not something we're just going to all of a sudden jump up and be able to do. Because even as we make strides in the process, things come up that push our buttons, our emotional buttons that we didn't even remember were there, all right? And boom, it comes up and we have to re-engage ourselves in this journey that we're on. So this is why the spiritual journey is called the work. And that work happens in the relationships in our lives. You see, these are the arenas designed by our soul as practice grounds for the implementation and expression of unconditional love. And we determine the degree of difficulty in our relationships by the degree of difficulty of the conditions we place on our relationships, okay? So the more conditions and boundaries and whatnot we place on our relationships, the more opportunity for difficulty to come up in those relationships. But the true purpose of every relationship is that it is a cosmic opportunity for our soul to heal by allowing profound spiritual awakening to occur. And this can only happen by letting go of our conditions that we place on love. And believe me, I know that all of our egos that are filled with psychological and emotional trauma are crying out, oh, heck no, that's not even possible. You know, just think about it. You know, just think about the thought of letting go of all your conditions, just being open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth, guiding you through the difficulties you may run into. But however, in past lessons, we've talked about the fact that life is a series of parables. So the individual relationships in our lives are parabolic or symbolic opportunities for profound awareness of our cosmic potential of being infinite channels of unlimited love. And the very word cosmic means to be infinitely and inconceivably extended. All right, so cosmic opportunity means if we fully engage in the love process in our relationships, no matter what, co-workers, somebody you run into on the street, wherever, if you fully engage, it's like the story George Stone, Reverend George Stone told about ran his car. No, he said, on the way here to work, I encountered somebody who really needed my love. That's the way the story goes. And we said, well, how did you know that? He says, because he's ran his car straight into mine. You get it? So for him, he interpreted that as this individual really needed his love. Okay, so I'm saying these opportunities come up all the time. And we have to decide in the moment how we are going to express love no matter what's going on. So the very, that word cosmic. So those opportunities are cosmic opportunities, which means they're trying to extend you infinitely and inconceivably. So maybe we need to ask ourselves if we're willing to be infinitely and inconceivably extended beyond our present understanding and expression of love. But how do we even know if we're operating from constrained rather than unconditional, boundless love? You know, how do you know? But I believe that every one of us can think of a person or persons right now we have mentally pushed out of bounds, out of the boundaries of our capacity to love. A person we feel has threatened the limits of our love, trespassed the limits of our love. Well, anytime we have reached the limits of our capacity to forgive and to love, we are operating on a false, illusionary, self-constructed, self-indulgent version of the true love that God is. So that's our clue. That's our clues. You know, am I operating from unconditional love? Well, you know, let me look at the different processes that are going on in my life right now, different relationships. But again, I say, who can blame us for being this way? Who can blame us for being this way? Because this is the way we were taught by the social structure we grew up in, the social structure we live in. It is what we were taught to believe a normal human, as being a normal human survival behavior technique. Okay, we have to have these boundaries to protect ourselves. However, the purpose of the human experience is not to become lost in it. The purpose of the human experience is to help us wake up, evaluate the path we're walking, become conscious enough to make adjustments and changes as we become aware of the impact and influence our behavior is having on shaping our relationships and experiences. It is to remember that we are spiritual beings here for the purpose of healing. And the number one miracle medicine for healing, no matter what the ailment, is love. Unconditional, boundless love. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:7, we all know this. We are here to learn the love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We are here to learn that real love never fails. And there is our barometer, our measuring stick. Real love never fails. And this work requires us to let others step into our boundaries and to learn how to step into the boundaries of others with love and understanding and compassion, with the intention of going the distance needed to dissolve our conditions for love. And you go the distance by remaining centered in love regardless of the circumstance. Again, I know that doesn't sound easy. And even if certain circumstances in a relationship requires that you geographically remove yourself, you know, from a relationship for safety and other reasons, you still remain centered in love, holding the person in the light of spiritual love and divine understanding. And yes, that is not what we were taught to do. You know, to the adverse ego, this probably sounds insane. But our true self, through our true self, it is what we are spiritually designed to do. We are here to learn how to bring a very special love into expression. And as one unknown poet expressed a love that holds, it says, a love that holds with gentle hands the hearts that it entwines. Okay? That's how he expressed it. A love that holds with gentle hands the hearts that it entwines. And again, I say, our experience here is not just for the experience itself, but rather the purpose of each experience is to prune us of our false notions that we are merely humans, victims of circumstances. And we all know to prune means to remove or cut out that which is needless, useless, wasteful. And that includes anything that is holding us back from making real love possible. Now, Tuesday is Valentine's Day, a day which we set aside, you know, to express love to our designated loved ones. But how about making every day a day to celebrate love, especially to express love to someone you have placed in a category of not being worthy of your love? You know, think about that. Let's strive to make every day a day to make real love possible, okay? Let me just end with that. Let us strive to make every day a day to make real love possible. And let me end with this, share this affirmation with you for this week. So today I pray for guidance with such dedication that the line between me and the prayer fades. Let's read that again. Today I pray for guidance with such dedication that the line between me and the prayer fades. There is only me as the prayer, and the prayer as me. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, find that comfortable space right where you are, feet flat to the floor, spines as straight as you can. And let's take in a nice deep breath and exhale fully. Pay attention to the inflow and the outflow as you breathe in again and release the breath. Allow your breath to center your body in this present moment. You may gently close your eyes or take a downward gaze during the next few minutes. I ask you now to make a connection with your heart center. This is the symbolic center of love that is the true nature of who we are. Love is the great harmonizer and presence that stands under all and flows through everything and everyone and is all. At a time when many of us are seeking peace, understanding, and justice in the world, let us know this truth. It begins with us. We allow the divine love that we are to first permeate in, through, and as us. We love ourselves fully so that we may love others fully and see the divine love in all. So for a moment, silently affirm to yourself, I am love. I am love. I am love. And now please take the following words as your very own. Gracious Spirit within me, from this place of deep truth and knowing that the love that is God, that is the Christ consciousness of who I am, that is my inherent place of being, guides and directs my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I allow this to be my anchor, to which I return in every moment of every day. I am love. Let us prepare now for that journey to the secret place of the Most High, with our love centers filled to overflowing with the blessings of divine love. Holy Spirit, we are channels of your love to the world. We step forth this day filled with your teachings of how to treat our fellow human beings and ourselves. We are to love ourselves fully so we may love others fully, to see the divine in all. In the name and nature of the Christ consciousness within, we give thanks, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen. And when you are ready, come back to join your Unity family.
Thank you, Helen. So, this is the time we become aware of all the abundance that comes into our lives, knowing that God is the source of all the supply that comes into our lives. God is our instant, constant, abundant source of supply. That was an affirmation we used to use a lot. So, but this is kind of, we're giving thanks personally, each one of us, for that abundance. So let's say this prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And now, this is when we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the abundance that flows into our lives to flow into and bless our spiritual home, support our spiritual home. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, I ask you to say this offering blessing with us.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right, and now we have light notes.
Light notes for today, Sunday, February the 12th. On Sunday, February the 26th, we will have our family meeting following the service at 1 p.m. This is an informal get-together to discuss what's up in our spiritual community, and so we hope to see you there. It will be on Zoom. On Sunday, March the 5th, we will have our in-person and hybrid service with special music from our very own Faye Hunt Jones. We're looking forward to that. On Sunday, March the 12th at 3 p.m., the Booklight Book Club will meet to discuss the book, The Universe is Calling, written by Eric Butterworth. He says that this book is the call to take charge of your life and release your imprisoned splendor. Also, the readers will be led to a truer and stronger connection with the divine. On that same day in the service, we welcome Janelle Renshaw, licensed Unity teacher and the Unity Eastern Region Youth Consultant, as our speaker. The Women of Unity will once again come together for a celebration of Women's Month on Saturday, March the 18th at 2:30 p.m. During this time together, we will share our favorite women from the past or present that inspired us to move forward in life with a positive, creative, compassionate, and loving demeanor. For the potluck luncheon, we ask each lady to bring a food item to share that is delicious and healthy. If you plan on attending, please email me at pamosby@msn.com and let me know what you will be bringing. The last day to reply to me is Sunday, March the 12th. I look forward to sharing this most wonderful time with you and learning about what inspires you about the women or the woman you admire. That closes our announcements for today.
All right. So now...
Oh, no, I have one more announcement.
Oh,
I'm sorry. On Sunday, March the 26th at 1 p.m., we will hold our annual membership meeting on Zoom. The annual meeting is our official yearly gathering to elect board members, discuss finances, and more. Everyone is welcome to attend. Only members can vote. I'm really finished now.
Okay.
I'm complete.
All right. So, what time is it?
It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous.
And I am grateful. All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. And all I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us today. It was our pleasure to bring you this service today. And again, we hope to see you in the Zoom fellowship on Sunday. And it happens right after this. So other than that, have a wonderful week. Enjoy your Valentine's Day on Tuesday with your loved ones, as we will be doing as well. So have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.